Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Philippians chapter 4, starting a new section that we have called Joy and Peace, that begins in chapter 4 and verse 4, and it's going to go down through verse 7. Today we're going to look at the first two verses of them, verses 4 and 5. That says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near."
Okay, so this idea of joy we've talked about all along is key in the book of Philippians. It's especially significant when you think about his imprisonment, but kind of a big picture thing. There's several commands that he's going to give here in these next few verses to rejoice. Verse 4, that's an imperative. Verse 5, to let your reasonableness be known to all men. I think you said have a gentle spirit.
Gentle spirit, yeah.
Number 3 from verse 6, don't be anxious. And then number 4, let your request at the end of verse 6, let your request be made known to God. And then you can allow God to remove that anxiety, verse 7. But we're just going to look at those first two today. The idea of rejoicing is the first one. And when you think about the problem in Philippi that he's just been talking about, then for him to command them, all right, you be happy. You know, well, no, not really. You have joy. But that joy is only going to happen, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. The only way that you're going to have joy is when you're in the Lord, not in selfishness, because then the problem is solved. A decision was made that we're going to put others before self.
Yeah. You think about, too, rejoice in the Lord. How long has it been since they've been rejoicing in the Lord? There's no indication in the book of Philippians how long this altercation or altercations have been going on. But you think about going to church and being involved with the church in Philippi during this time. How mentally taxing would it have been if you're one of these women, or you're not even in it, but you're just having to put up with it at church, and you're going here and you just know that anything is going to set off another something between these two ladies, or, you know, that you know it's going to be something. You're walking on ice and you're waiting for the next thing to blow up. How much rejoicing in the Lord is there in those moments?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be little to none. And so part of that rejoicing in the Lord is obviously living in harmony in the Lord. But when that happens, he says, then church can be what it was intended to be. And your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with your other Christians that are standing beside you can be what they need to be as well.
Yeah, and that happens when we decide to rejoice, when we decide to put others before self, when we decide to have the right attitude towards circumstances, like Paul did back in chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, I've got a choice to make here, but I'm going to make the choice that serves the Lord and is better for others. You know, when you do that, you can have joy. You know, but you can't if you're causing, you know, that, if you ever had a rock in your shoe and it just kind of irritates and, you know, whatever. Well, that, if that's what's going on all the time, there's no joy, you know.
Yeah.
So it begins with having this right attitude of others before self. And then that second command in verse 5, let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand.
It's time to be gentle, and it's time to be reasonable. It's time to get this sorted so that we can be who we need to be. He emphasizes—
And that term kind of— I don't suggest a willingness to forego your own rights for the sake
it
of
is.
Others.
Yeah, and it's one of those that I would rather, again, I would rather lose the argument than lose my soul, mm-hmm. you know, or you know, give up my stance so that we can be who we need to be again. And he gives this emphasis of why that's necessary. He says the Lord is near. Well, you kind of got to connect that back to chapter 3 and verse 21, whenever him talking about how that we're waiting for our Savior to return. Mm-hmm. The Lord is near in that way. We don't know when he's going to come back, but the Lord is, you know, could come back anytime. The Lord is near us, and certainly just in our presence, especially during worship and those kind of things, you know, the Lord is right here. And so is this the way that we want to represent our relationship with each other and our relationship to him?
Well, we think about meeting the Lord when he comes back, and we don't know when that's going to be, but I'm going to meet the Lord when I die.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Lord may not come back for 10,000 more years, but I won't be here for 10,000 more years, you know. So this Greek word that's translated gentleness or gentle spirit, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Or reasonableness, again, has this idea of willingness to yield, a generosity of spirit towards others. Others before self that Paul's emphasized throughout all this letter. But you think about if you knew, and like you see all of these different movies that, you know, have this kind of thing, theme or whatnot, maybe you've even seen it in real life, like somebody gets a terminal diagnosis, and then suddenly there was a song that Tim McGraw had a few years ago, Live Like You Were Dying. One of the things that he talked about, I gave forgiveness I'd been denying.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know I'm about to die. You know, if we think about it from an eternal standpoint all the time, all of a sudden, well, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, or I'm going to die tomorrow. Are we going to care what color the carpet is at that point?
Yeah.
Are we going to care what time the service is on Sunday evening? Are we going to care about whether or not somebody had a tie or what translation they, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Some of these things that we get divisive over, if we knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, or if I was dying tonight, how differently will we live? It's Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, realizing that life is short. And from that perspective, why are we carrying around, you know, Scrooge was miserable. He had everything, but he was miserable because he only thought of self.
Yeah.
And when we think about others before self, so one way we can have that real joy, sometimes it's having that eternal perspective that makes us do that.
So the Holy Ghost of eternity visiting, maybe, I guess, that's showing us that no matter how much time we have left, it's not going to be nothing compared to...
Not going
to
be nothing.
Yeah, it ain't going to be nothing compared to eternity.
And the other thing, too, to point out, and I've already said this earlier, but remember, these are commands. So we talked about the doctrinal issues or not on the last episode.
It's not a good thought.
It's a command to rejoice. It's a command to be reasonable or gentle or have a yielding spirit towards others. It's a command. It's not a good idea, as you said. It's what God expects of us and demands of us.
And you just talked about, you know, before it opened up Revelation, opening up the books, you're going to be looking at the commands that God gives us in Scripture and saying, okay, has my life been representative of the commands I've been given in Scripture? Well, is this going to be the thing that holds you out of that?
Mm.
You know, that's a tough situation to put yourself in if you're Yodia or Syntyche.
Yep.
Don't let your irritability pull you out of the kingdom, but be someone who is willing to say, be gentle and be reasonable in your decision making. Your soul is not worth, and their souls are not worth an argument. It doesn't matter how important it is; it's not as worthy as your soul. So, keep that in mind, and keep the Lord as the forefront of our decision making and our emotions and everything that we do. We'll continue to talk about these commands and the list of commands that Paul gives us here in Philippians chapter 4 next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.